Hey, this is Natalie Griffin, the Naughty Shaman, coming at you live from the Naughty Shaman Recording Studios, which, again, is the beautiful back porch at our family home in Delaware, and I'm so glad to be here. Again, I've been visiting family, and it's so nice to make time for family. We have one of those cool families that gets along, you know. My brother and I and his kids and my kids are kind of the last ones that we are close with here on the East Coast, and it's just lovely that I have soul family that's part of my bloodline, so I'm feeling like super grateful. Thank you. They're inside looking at me. They're like, hey, it's almost dinner time. Can you wrap it up? Anyway, I wanted to get this podcast out because I've gotten some great emails over the last few weeks because from our listeners that are out there all over. And there's Kristen who is emailing me from Arizona, and she had this awesome, awesome question. And I was like, oh my God, Kristen, I'm going to make a podcast about this because she asked this question that I think so many of us can relate to. She said, you know, Natalie, I've been working a long time and I want to be a spiritual, loving person in the world. And I know that love is all that matters and love is all there is and all these things about love, but I don't want to be taken advantage of. So I'm going to protect myself. And I don't know if you can talk about how do we protect ourselves and still be loving people in the world. And I was like, Kristen, I can absolutely talk about that because I am a recovering fear freak. And I just really have a lot of compassion for how much fear is around relationships and this idea of getting taken advantage of. I think for me, one of my largest fears always was getting taken advantage of, but looking a fool. Like I used to be so afraid of like making a fool out of myself. It wasn't that he cheated on me. It was that I would look like a fool. There was something about that fear that really triggered me. So I have such compassion for how triggering relationships can be and how they kind of poke at this primordial fear, at least in Western cultures, of am I enough? And where's the line? How do I protect myself? For me, Kristen and everybody else who's got this thought about trust and being careful, it's kind of that whole vein that I know one of my favorite songs by Nako and Medicine for the People is called Make a Change. And there's a line in there where he's like passionately singing about this change he's going to make in the world. And he's like, I'm going to do no harm, but I'm going to take no shit. And I'm going to build a bridge out of the emptiness. And it's one of my favorite lines. And I love the bravery and the courage that is in that lyric. And I love the bridge out of the emptiness because I feel like that's what many of us are doing. And certainly I feel like I've been called to part of that role as well. But this idea of doing no harm and taking no shit, how do we do that? Like it's a great little meme you can post on social media, but what the hell? How do we live like this? How do we engage in deep, soulful relationships, which inherently, intimately involves risk? And also, how can we do that in a way where we don't feel betrayed or taken advantage of? So, as usual, because I'm the Naughty Shaman, I got to re-context this a little bit. I got to take the ingredients and mix them in my little bowl so that we can look at it from a different lens. Here's what I want to mix together. The idea of how do I protect myself from them, from being betrayed, from being hurt, it makes it sound like it's a them problem. I'm going to suggest that it's more of a question of how can I set boundaries that I can keep, which makes it more of a me problem. So the fear around being betrayed, around trusting others, around intimacy, around all that, it's hardly ever a them problem. It's almost always an us problem. There's something in our squishy bits that has not been healed yet. And so here are some of the things that I've learned over my years of many, many different kinds of relationships of all kinds. And for me, and just the way that I was made in this little human body, safety is an important thing. And I think I'm looking at all the people who are maybe watching the video of this, but I mean, safety is a little bit what we're craving because I'm a yoga teacher. And so, you know, the muscles of our bodies will lengthen and grow and soften only when they feel safe, when they're supported by solid alignment and bone structure and strong joints. then the muscles can soften and grow. And I find that people are exactly like muscles. People can only soften and grow when they feel safe. Oftentimes, if we have not gone through the spiritual adulthood journey and we're still fresh awakened and fresh spiritual children, we can make the mistake of expecting other people to make it safe for us. It's a profound switch of mindset to become responsible for one's own safety. It's a game changer, because when we become responsible for creating safety inside of ourselves, then we are then freer to expose and grow and get soft and vulnerable in front of other people, but only when we've created more and more safety inside of ourselves. The more safety we create inside, then the more we can show. And the more safety we create inside, the more we can show. And the more, and this is how we grow. Does this make sense? So here we are in the beginning, very, very fearful about getting hurt because all of us have had betrayals or heartbreaks or whatever you want to call them. We've all had parts of our lives where we're like, I wanted him to stay, or I thought she was the one, or I believed in our friendship. Like, we've all had those bitter crying moments over the loss of something we cared about and thought was going to go somehow different. So we've all had this challenge in our lifetime, and sometimes it like sears into our memory banks, this pain. And then we're like, wow, I never want to go through that again. So how can I protect myself and structure my life with all these safety protocols so that no one will ever hurt me again? Which, if you do that, my loves, you will never live again. You will never live if you paint this strong box around you so that you will never get hurt. Part of life is falling down on this concrete, paving your knee, whacking your head, getting hurt, hurting other people. We're messy species. We do a lot of unconscious stuff when we're together. And that is good fodder or good fuel for our growth. And that's it. So the expectation of never being hurt again is a false one, I would suggest. I would suggest that our little squishy bits are going to go, ah, and then we'll recover. And then sometimes our knee will go, ah, and then we'll recover. And sometimes our head will go, ay, 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 and then we will recover. Because what we are cultivating on this spiritual path is resilience. We are cultivating resilience for what it's like to be a little star being in these weird squishy bodies that have five fingers on each hand, you know. We're trying to figure this out, this human thing. All of us, none of us are exempt from it. So that's the context, is that fundamentally we have to figure out how to create safety inside of ourselves. A couple of ways to create safety inside of ourselves is to be mindful about what we are nourishing our body with. I've noticed that in times of reckless abandon, if I have been drinking or eating a lot of crap food, there's this low-grade anxiety that will creep into my system because my body is starving for nourishment and hydration. And that will just send little fear signals to the brain and activate fight or flight. So even fundamental things like drinking water, getting rest, nourishing yourself with food is important. We also create safety in our own being by how we talk to ourselves. We expect other people to talk to us so kindly, but we do not share that expectation of ourselves to ourselves. And I think we need to broaden that expectation of good treatment to how we treat ourselves. And I know that mind game. I can get on those mind tirades a lot more in the past than anymore, where there used to be just such negative self-talk, negative self-belief, a loss of hope, a loss of belief in my ability. And that thought process can also send those signals to the brain that we are under attack. I have a personal theory that a lot of our autoimmune disease and inflammation in the system is this constant chronic stress that we're feeling because we're constantly crapping on ourselves inside of our own minds. So it's very unsafe inside of us because of the war going on inside of our own head. It isn't out there at all. It's inside of us. So we have to have practices that cultivate safety inside our own mindset towards ourselves and the way we look at the world. That comes from mindfulness practices. That comes from meditation. That comes from a strong spiritual badass community. That comes from love and good friends and good family. That is nourishing for the brain. also not just what we say to our own brain, but what we feed our brain. Things like what we watch on TV, what we read, what we listen to at Starbucks, what we engage in conversations. We can create safety for ourselves by simply walking away from things that we've got the gist and now we can be done learning that little tidbit, because the rest of it is just drama. And who needs to fill the brain with that? So we have to cultivate that basic sense of safety in ourselves. If you come to Dharma School, we work in our medicine wheel. We have a very unique medicine wheel, and we talk about the four gates of healing. And for us, the very first gate is the gate of safety. How do we create safety for ourselves and then ultimately for others? And from that, only then do we earn the right to go further, because without a safety, a sense of rapport and structure, can we go further? Can the muscles soften and relax and expand into new places of healing? So safety first, inside. So people do this whole thing about talking about, I want to live from love and I don't want to live from fear, and I could not agree more. But there is this idea that if I'm going to be a spiritual person and live from love, then that means I got to love everybody, I got to let everybody in, and I got to let them do whatever they want, because I want to be a loving and spiritual person. And I'm here to tell you, I think that might be bullshit. Because you can love everyone as a spiritual brother and sister. I'm a fan of that. I love it. I get it. And did you know in Celtic shamanism, there's actually in this thymus gland here, a heart chakra, a high heart that they work with. And that is the little heart chakra that emanates this unconditional love for all beings. In our human heart center right here, there's an ability to love in a more human way, in a more way that we can love you like a brother, but not involve you in our daily lives. We can love you and say goodbye to you if we're not feeling safe or supported or in the same direction. We can have love and also not live with and not engage with. And that's this very powerful heart center where we have choice. And it's super powerful to use your power of choice in these instances. So in order to create safety for yourself, I would suggest that it is our responsibility, and that what we want to do, if we are literally working from a place of love in all directions, then we've got to work from a place of loving ourselves, and in addition to loving those around us. And if we're working from a place of self-love, then we've got to have boundaries. You've got to love yourself enough to dig into those bits and parts and get super honest with yourself about what's okay with you and what's not okay with you. And you have to give yourself permission to have a no. You have to give yourself permission to have a, that's not okay with me. Peace, brother, but I'm moving on, moving the truck down the lane. You've got to have that space to say no. I one time had a teacher, Julio Olaya. He is an ontological coach and a philosopher, and he's an amazing human. And one of his teachings is that when we take a person's ability to say no from them, when we don't give them the choice, yes or no, what we're doing is taking our dignity. And when we give away our own ability to say no, then we are giving away our dignity. We are giving away, in effect, our power. And many of us learn this. And I'm going to tell you a story, because I love personal stories. Because I used to be someone that never had boundaries, and I couldn't understand why I was always heartbroken and always feeling betrayed and super scared of deep relationships. And I had this history long ago of all of this stuff. And so I learned to not ask for anything. I learned that in order to like get love and have people close to you, you had to be kind of easy to get along with, and you had to not rock the boat. You had to not really want too much or need too much, and just kind of do your thing and be self-sufficient, be easy, and then everything would be fine. And then when you would ask for things, it would be hard. And so I just learned, for whatever reason, to not ask for that much, to not need that much, and to just kind of go with the flow and get along. As I grew older, this became problematic, because I was like a little feather in the wind, that if someone's will was stronger than mine, I would bend to it and I would follow it. It's that whole idea of, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I was falling for all kinds of stuff because I didn't have that strong sense of center. I didn't have that strong sense of safety inside of myself. And so there were a lot of times where said yes and meant no, because somewhere along the line, I just lost the ability or the desire to say no. And I just was yes for everything, even when it was a no. And so then that created a lot of unsafe feelings inside of me, because then I would get myself into situations where there'd be too many drugs, too much alcohol, too much craziness, too much loudness, and I wasn't feeling safe, but I had lost my ability to say no and create safety for myself. So this perpetuated on into relationships later in my life, and I'll give you an example. Because when we lose our ability to say no, it can really mess up how we give. We give from an impure place. We learn it. We don't do it intentionally. None of us wake up and be like, I'm going to give from an impure place today. But it's an accident. It's like this accident based on that subconscious belief of I don't have the ability to say no and I have to go along with everything all the time. So here's the example. At one point I was in a relationship with this gentleman and he was super cool. We had a nice connection, super awesome. And he pretty much told me up front, like, I don't like to talk on the phone. I don't like to text that much, but I really like being with you and I'd like to see you again. And I would say, great, that sounds great. And I really wanted to be in a deep relationship with this guy, because when we were together, it was like fun. It was beautiful, brilliant, spiritual, and like a circus, and just joyful in every single way. And then it was super quiet when we were apart. So then over time, you know, I learned to kind of give. So I wanted to get this person to be with me. And what I learned, I want to get this person to be with me. So I'm going to be really easy and do everything that makes him feel safe and comfortable. And then I'm going to give, because then he'll feel super safe. And then he'll give back to me eventually one day. So this is all happening inside my own mind. Mind you, he's already said, I don't like to talk that much. It's not my jam, but I like you and it's fun to be with you. I'm like, great. So I'm giving, I'm baking cupcakes, I'm sending poems, I'm sending song lyrics. I'm like, hey, how's your day? I'm sending all this love, all this good juju, all this wonderful energy, all these things. And in the back of my mind, it was very subconscious at the time, but in the back of my mind, I was thinking, this is going to open his little heart and he's going to realize how wonderful I am and we'll live happily ever after. I had this weird background fantasy going on with all my giving. And then the things that he did give, I was having trouble receiving because I was focused on giving all the time. So there was this really crazy thing. Then I started to get resentful. I'm giving all this stuff. When was the last time he ever baked me a cupcake? When was the last time he ever sent me whatever? It's interesting. So the betrayal mindset had set in. Like, oh my God, this guy's screwing me over. I should have protected myself from him. So then one day we had this conversation. I was like, I'd really like to go on vacation with you. He's like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So in my mind, I hear in my little fantasy track, we're going on vacation. We're going to live happily ever after. And then, of course, the vacation days came. I'm like, where do you want to go? And he's like, oh, I made plans to go with my friends. I was like, betrayal, red flag, what the hell's wrong with you? In my mind, I'm doing this, right? It was a long time ago. And so I'm like, how could you do that? You said you wanted to go on vacation with me. We had a thing. I've been making plans. I've been baking cupcakes. I've been getting song lyrics ready. I got the playlist ready for the drive. And it was all happening in my head. So here's the breakdown of how to create boundaries and create safety for yourself. And escape this whole bullshit thing of being betrayed, because being betrayed is just a story that we make up. No one's betraying everybody. Everybody's just trying to be human. What we need are better conversations. So here's the conversation that we missed. So what in fact, breaking it down, I asked, do you want to go on vacation with me on these dates? He said, sounds good. That, my friends, is not a yes. Sounds like a yes, sounds like a promise, but in fact, it is not. Only when there's a promise made and then someone doesn't hold up their end of the bargain can we complain, right? Then we can say, hey, you said you were going to do this, didn't happen. Let's try to make some repairs. But that was not the case here. Everything happened in my wild fantasy land of a brain. So the conversation and in effect, a promise was missing. A promise is constructed when someone makes a request, blah, 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 blah. Do you want to go on vacation with me on these dates? And then there's a yes. as soon as there's a yes, we have agreement, and now there's a promise, and now all people can proceed knowing the genuine rules of the game, and we're playing off of the same music. You know what I'm saying? We're playing the same song off the same sheet music, and it's going to be in harmony. When one person is having a fantasy and the other person is having a reality, there's a lot of opportunities for miscommunications. And I would argue that most of the feelings of betrayal, most of the feelings of that asshole, most of the feelings of that bitch, whatever they are only because of miscommunications, because we have become a species of terrible, terrible communicators. And I think social media is probably making that worse, but I'm going to save that diatribe for another day. But I do believe in the power of communication. And if we just focus on one thing, being clear about what we want and need, and then asking, and then giving people a chance to say yes or no. And if we can assume that everyone in the system is going to be honest as best of their ability, to the best of their ability, then we're going to win. We're going to win in our relationships with that kind of a communication. It's when people have the pocket no, or the hidden no, or the yes, but a fuck you behind them. That's when we run into trouble, because we're not actually interacting with the truth. So we have to find these 5 seconds of courage and interact with the truth. So that's what I'm talking about. So here's how to set some boundaries. I want to wrap it up with this idea. Setting boundaries is a practice. I was lousy at it. My first boundary setting sounded a lot like this. Well, if you don't do this, then I'm out of here. Like, it was really ultimatumy and kind of bitchy, but I was doing my best. And, you know, I had to go in swinging. I was nervous. They were not my best attempts at boundary setting. Now, boundary setting sounds a lot more like, I value your time and my time. And so I'd love to make some plans. Would you like to make plans with me? And then it's easy to get a yes. Or no. And either way, I'm good. I'm going to attach to the outcome. But at least I'm having clarity and truthful conversations. So here's step one. What do you care about the most in this situation? You got to ask yourself that question, you know, especially if you're going to set boundaries. This works for kids. So I was thinking about my kids and how I set boundaries for them. And even though on the outside, I look like I'm kind of a hippie parent with no boundaries, the kids actually have quite a few boundaries, not a tremendous amount, but enough to keep them on the straight and narrow, in my opinion. So I think to myself, what are the most important things to me about my kids? Well, I want them to have healthy bodies. Okay, great. I want them to be kind to people. I want them to be kind to themselves. I want them to be kind to people, adults. I don't want them to be running around, lighting things in garages on fire, or yelling swear words at the neighbor, acting like, you know, ignorant people. I want them to be kind in the world and spread that good, good kindness that they have in their hearts. I also really care about that they get good grades. I want them to make effort. That's important to me. So I like them to have B's and above. And then the last rule really is I want them to discover over the period of their lives something that they're passionate about doing, whether that's art, gardening, music, video, whatever. I'd just love for them to discover a passion. So those are my boundaries. I want them to have healthy bodies. I want them to get decent grades. I want them to be kind in the world. And for a bonus round, if they discover their passion, right on. So then with that boundary setting with them, lets me do is it lets me lighten up on the micromanaging of things like video time and bedtimes, because now they're self-managing. They're 12 and 14 now, and now, you know, my son is like, wow, I have a test tomorrow. I think I'm going to go to bed. I didn't have to yell at him for 7 hours to get him to go to bed. He knows that if he gets less than B's, then some of the privileges go away. So that's the other part of boundary setting, is if someone breaches your boundaries, how do you hold them accountable? This is uncomfortable for a lot of us, because especially those of us who were raised to be like the good girl, the easy one to get along with, or the good guy, then we definitely have a problem with this. But the kids know now, like if they get a bad report card or they get like all C's, 5 F's and da da da, and you know, there's not a medical reason for this, then the privileges are going to come off the table. It's going to be like, okay, now you got no TV time. Now the phone is mine after 6 p.m. Now here's what's going to happen to you. And so they know it's because of this. They've breached the boundaries. That's it. There's even no drama. Like, I took the phone away the other day and they were just like, here you go. Because they knew. They knew the rules up front. So that's the ideal situation with setting the boundaries. Other things that you can do is figure out what are your values? You know, for me, I value things like growth. Growth is one of my most important values, growth and learning. So when I'm around people that are not thinking and they're not reading and they're not wondering and they're not growing personally, it's super boring. And I've realized I can't waste time because I've got, you know, I'm going in a direction here. And so I just don't, I have a boundary around that. So if someone is not committed to growth, they kind of fall to the bottom of my priority list in terms of where I'm going to spend my time and energy. Even with my clients, I tell them that up front as well. The other thing that I have a value around is affection and being able to say what's true for you about your feelings. And I love people that are able to articulate how they're feeling, because then it eliminates a lot of miscommunication for me, which makes me feel a little hinky. So I know myself, I get hinky when there's weird ass communication. So I do appreciate and value communicators and affection. I also value appreciation, because I think that creates a lot of goodwill among humankind. And so I do value appreciation. I like when people appreciate me, for sure. But I like appreciating, like, you know, the guy that came to the door today to do a job, or the guy at the grocery store bagging my groceries, the gal, you know, who's washing my car. Like, I appreciate those things because they're doing me a solid, so I don't have to do these things. So sending that appreciation vibe out into the world is also very important to me. And so people that don't match my values tend to fall out, because they know that that is kind of a boundary around me. So your values can become kind of a beacon to call those who match your values, and also a boundary to kind of keep those who aren't matching your values at a little bit of a distance. The last thing that you can do, and this is the easiest thing, and this is where I always start when I think about boundary setting, you know, when it's with, if I get frustrated about what's happening with my kids, or I get frustrated about what's going into relationship, I ask myself, you know, have I let my boundaries be breached? Anger is always a sign that your boundaries have been breached, or that there's been an injustice in your mind somewhere. It doesn't mean it's a real injustice, but it's happened in your mind somewhere. So then I go on the hunt. As soon as I'm a little bit like, God damn, then I'm like, okay, there's something brewing inside me. What could it be? And I get my whiskers out, and I start hunting for where did the boundaries get breached, or where did I not set boundaries in the first place? No wonder the person crossed them, because I never said that was okay. I love those stories of, like, I'm so sick and tired of this guy who hits me and I need to really break up with him. And I'm like, great, did you tell, you know, it's that whole thing of, like, if you tolerate a behavior for a long time, then it will continue until you set the boundaries. We are in charge of creating safety. We are in charge of letting people know what is okay with us and what is not okay with us. And that's my favorite activity that I want to leave you with. In a situation where you're feeling hinky and you're feeling maybe a little cranky or grumpy or angry, start making a list of just what's okay with me and what is no longer okay with me, or what is not okay with me, and give yourself permission to just let it rip. You don't have to communicate the entire 75-point list, but you want to do some brainstorming to start to get to know your own mind and your own heart. Because if you don't know that, how in the hell is anyone else going to know that? You know what I'm saying? So you got to spend some time looking into those squishy bits. Figure out what matters to you. And then figure out a gentle way to ask for it. And always remember to preserve the other person's yes or no, because that's preserving their dignity. And also, never forget that you always have a choice, my loves. This is a magical part of boundary and avoiding the betrayal and avoiding the heartache, is that you have a choice. When you choose to give something, give it. Give it 100%. My dad used to have a philosophy. He said, never lend anyone money, especially people you care about. If you have it to give, give it, but never lend it, because the feeling of owing someone will tear a relationship apart. And there was a lot of wisdom in that, I think, on a lot of levels, not just with money. I think that there are a lot of people giving like I used to give. They're giving with hidden expectations, and they might even be hidden from them themselves, from the giver themselves. So if we can find a way to get really clear on our motivations for giving, and if we don't want to give our time, our energy, our support, our money, we are free to say, not yet, not now. Call me in a couple weeks. Not that much. How about this? We have a no available to us. Never, ever forget that. Because then your yeses and your gifts will resonate with other people at a soul level. And really deep and cool, authentic relationships will spawn from that. So, my darlings, happy living. Don't be afraid. Don't protect. Have an open heart and go out there trusting in your ability to hold your own boundaries. It's not anyone else's job. It's ours. It's our job to create safety in our lives. And we can do that. All right, darlings, I'm sending a lots of love and good juju out into the universe from the beach. And I hope that the wind chimes were soothing, and it's been a pleasure chatting with you. As always, if you are interested in Dharma School, we're filling up a new class in the fall. If you are interested in some of the classes that we have every week at the center for free, just so that we can build community and so that you know you're not alone, then check out our website at naughtyshaman.com. And Dharma School is coming up in November. And we've got quite a few awesome people signed up already. So I'd love to have you there if you're hearing the call. And I'd love your feedback. If you've got some ideas for me, let's dialogue. Let's conversate. I feel like that should be a verb. Let's have a conversation. Okay, loves. Thank you from all of us at Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little wild and totally real.